Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome to the heartland of Israel. This is David Ha'ivri on Israel News Talk Radio, a Hebrew in the heartland, every Tuesday at 6 o'clock p.m. Israel time, 11 o'clock Eastern in the United States, and adjust your clocks wherever you might be. The show is available on the archive all week and forever, so you can share the link with your friends, and please do. If you enjoy the show, send in your comments, share the link on social media, send me an email, tell me what you're enjoying and what you're not enjoying. I enjoy getting your feedback and hearing from you about how you relate to the show. So today we're going to have two very special guests. Number one, in the first segment of the show, we're going to be speaking with Remy Rarens, who established an organization for New Olim. Olim means Jewish people who have moved to the state of Israel. Remy moved to the state of Israel, and at some point he had great difficulty, and he established a Facebook group. He's going to tell us about that, and he's going to tell us how the group grew very quickly from 0 to 3,000 to 32,000 members in Israel and around the world of people who made Aliyah or wish to make Aliyah and want to help Jews make it in Israel. We're also going to be speaking with David Weissman, who is a writer, a veteran of the American military, a Jew who made Aliyah, who moved to Israel, and today writes. His articles are available on multiple sites on the internet, and he is a supporter of Donald Trump, President Trump. He confronts the Islamist Linda Sassoor. He challenged her to a debate. We're going to hear from David about the debate. And we're also going to be speaking about our holy city, the capital, Jerusalem, and the horrific terror attack that took place on Friday, which left two Israeli police officers dead. We're going to be speaking about what's going on the Temple Mount today. There are the police are have placed metal detectors, obviously because terrorists are bringing guns onto the holy place and killing police officers, and the Muslims are upset about that. We'll hear more on the show. So don't go away. We'll be right back after this news break. Shalom from the land.
Hi, this is Heather Dean. Is your home sweet home just a place to hang your hat? Check out The Modern Jewish Home every Wednesday at 5 p.m. for practical advice from a wide variety of experts and innovators about relationships, getting organized, growing your business, nourishing your body and soul, and even having a good laugh. So make yourself at home every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Israel time on The Modern Jewish Home here on Israel News Talk Radio.
And welcome back to my land, to the heartland of Israel. This is David Ha'ivri, a Hebrew in the heartland, broadcasting from Kfar Tapuach. Today we are going to be speaking with a very special guest, Remy Rarens, a man who has established Keep Olim movement, a movement that is meant to assist Olim. Olim is people, Jewish people, who have returned, who have come to make their home in Israel. And Remy has a huge Facebook group of people who have already made Aliyah and live in Israel, or people who are considering making Aliyah, and they provide all kinds of support to these people, to Jewish people who have come to live in Israel and need assistance in different ways in becoming Israeli and making it in Israel. So we're going to get Remy on the line, and we're going to hear from him what his movement is all about and what they actually do and how they make life easier for new Olim, for Jewish immigrants to the land of Israel. Hello, Remy. Welcome onto the show.
Shalom. How are you doing, sir?
I am doing good. Doing great. Thank you. Listen, I gave a... Well, welcome. Welcome. You're doing some amazing work. I'm following your group and activity on Facebook. And I gave a very short introduction about the Keep Olim. But I would really like to hear from you what the organization is about and where the idea came from. So shoot away.
So next week will be my third year in Israel. I made Aliyah less than 3 years ago. And after 9 months in Israel, I had no job, no money, no food. So I went to Facebook to vent, to say I'm leaving. I saw so many of my Olim friends leave. I was like the last one standing. So I went to Facebook to vent. I created a group called Keep Olim in Israel Movement. And within 5 days, 3,000 people joined the group. The media got a hold of it. All Olim were bitching in every different language. And we said, why don't we empower the Olim instead of just having them vent and create something? So together with my partner, Speaker Griver, who is a native Israeli, whose parents are from Russia, we created Keep Olim, which is a nonprofit to help Olim, all Olim in their post-Aliyah with programs and services and advocacy to basically be there. Never before has Olim been united in one group. Imagine the power Olim can have to change the things that are making Olim, you know, frustrated, angry, and eventually leave. So we created this group to unite all Olims to make positive changes for Olims and for Israel in general.
That's really impressive. Just the fact that you set up a Facebook group and within a couple of days had 3,000 people is pretty impressive. How many people have you got on the group today?
There's 32,000 people in the group from all backgrounds. I'm very proud to say that at least 1/4 of our group is Russian and Ukrainian. About 30 to 40% are religious. And that's the beauty of our group, because we have everybody from French, Latinos, Europeans, Anglos. Everybody's in the group together. And the nicest thing is, most of these people would never be together. We have Satmar Hasidim, who are not supposed to have computers, who are in the group. And we have people completely on the left as part of the group. And we have people who are religious, who are not halakhically Jewish. We have everybody. And the nicest thing is, we brought them all together under one rule. There's no politics, because we stay together, united on the things that we need to be united on, which is helping Olim. I leave the politics to the people, people like you and other people who deal with that stuff. We have enough to deal with, just Olim alone.
I guess that's a phenomenon too, to have an Israeli-based platform that has no politics.
Well, that's the beauty of it all, because think of it. You're politically to the right, there are people politically to the left, and everybody would just fight. So the first rule was no politics, you know, and just concentrate on the things to improve the situation of Olim. Personally, I have 130 Olim that I know, that I keep a list and give to all the politicians that have left the country in less than 3 years that I've been here.
And, I wanted to ask you,
when you're going back to countries like Bulgaria and Brazil and France and Ukraine, not just to America, you realize that Israel has a problem keeping the Olim. And the statistics are not reality. You know, nobody calls the Sachnut at the airport and says, yo, I'm out of here, bye. They just leave. They put all their stuff in secret Tel Aviv, secret Jerusalem. They sell all the stuff, pack 2-3 bags, and they leave. And that's the sad situation. And we are trying to change that.
I wanted to ask you regarding the members of Keep Olim, as far as Olim, and how do you consider an Ole? Is there a time limit to the amount of time a person entered the country?
An Ole is an Ole. If you've been here for 20 years and you still got yourself a Miftah, you're an Ole. and all that, we have old Olim helping young Olim, okay? Once in all that, you're always all that. We want to integrate people into Israeli society. Like, Olim have to learn Hebrew, but the Olpan system is a total failure, and we need to revamp and overhaul that so the Olim could speak in Hebrew, and that could be a common language for all of us. Because when you have to bring a neighbor your mail and say, Bavakasha, read it, we have a problem where you have, not everybody in Israel speaks English, you know? Not everybody in Israel speaks Russian. So we have one common language, Hebrew. And if we're gonna be successful Olim here, we have to learn Hebrew.
Can you tell us about some examples of cases of things that people turn to keep Olim and the way that you are able to assist them?
Sure. So we've had a number of public and private suicide attempts, and this is one of the reasons why it's one of the cornerstones of Keep Olim will be one of our future programs is subsidized mental health counseling that's very low cost in your own language. For instance, if Olim, where we've had an Olad that was trying to get a counselor in English at Ikalov Hospital, she had to wait 6 months, okay? That's disgraceful. If you're an Ola from Argentina and you need counseling, there is no counseling in Spanish. That you get an Israeli through Kopar Cholim that barely speaks your language and doesn't understand you, and that's not conducive to mental health. And we have a lot of depressed Olim. I was depressed. I was here for 9 months. You'd be depressed too if you had no job, no money, and the neighbors were bringing you food. You'd be a little bit depressed also. So, and questioning your motives, why you did this to yourself to move here. And Israel shouldn't be like that, you know? So we should have counseling. When you move overseas, and most of the people are moving without family, and you're leaving your friends and a steady job and all that stuff behind to start a new life in Israel, most people need to talk to somebody. People who have difficulties with, a married couple with kids, the husband can't get a job in Israel, the wife has a job. Now they're running out of money. They came with money at their savings, it's gone. So there's a lot of lachats in the family. And this is why counseling is so, so important. We've had already seven people that have tried suicide, okay? And this is a very big issue. We've had three overdoses in the group where people died. Sadly, three Americans died of overdoses. One of them was my friend. So we have a lot of issues that need mental health counseling for. If there's a God forbid, a terrorist attack, you call the hotline, okay? The hotlines are not in English, are not in Spanish, are not in French, you know? That's so Keep Olim is going to set up a support hotline for people to speak in the languages that they need to speak in.
I was looking at the Keep Olim Facebook page, and I saw that you had a memorial for a lone soldier who was killed a year ago. Can you tell us about Shlomo?
Sadly, last year, Brother Shlomo was killed in an accident at his army base, and Keep Olim, with the help of a couple of people, organized buses from Jerusalem and Tel Aviv within 5-6 hours and brought a lot of people. You know, there's a picture of all the people. Most of those people, whether they're from Keep Olim or not from Keep Olim, never knew the brother. They just came to show their love and support to the family. And that's the beauty of it. We are a diversified community, but we have built a community of Olim that care about one another. People reach out when they need food. We started a place, we're working with Or Mitzvah in Kfar Saba, a private French organization, nonprofit that has a very cheap supermarket for people in need, and we send Olim there. We have a lot of programs. We have free legal aid for Olim in their first year, because they come here, they sign contracts, they get talked, they don't know what they're signing. So my co-founder, Spica, sits there and reads the contracts and fixes their issues. We've had Spica right now is going to be at the Knesset tomorrow.
Naomi, just hang on for a second. We're taking a short commercial break. And listeners, hang on, because Naomi is going to be with us right after this break.
G'day, I'm Jono Vandoor.
And I'm Ross Nichols.
Join us on our program, Israel on My Mind, a show that broadcasts all the weekly goodness that flows like milk and honey from the Holy Land straight into your ears with humorous and happy news stories.
New shows are posted every Thursday at 7 p.m. Israel time, highlighting the lighter side and advancing a positive view of Israel here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Okay, Naomi, we're back after the break, and thank you for hanging on with us. You were speaking about a lone soldier whose name was Shlomo Randibo, and Randinow. And can you tell us a little bit about him? Where did he come from, and what was his story?
Sure, he came from America, and sadly, he, along with another soldier, the other soldier had a hand grenade, and apparently it went off and killed both of them.
Wow, that's terrible. It's really, you know, great that the Keep Olim remembers the lone soldiers, and you came out for the memorial for him and for his family.
We actually are starting to do a lot for the lone soldiers. We've been working with the Nativ program, because there's a lot of amazing lone soldiers who come through Nativ, which is an amazing program. And in that program, they come, they convert, because most of them are not halakhically Jewish. So they convert in that program and serve as lone soldiers and soldiers in for Israel. You know, we have an amazing group. Spica is going to be at the Knesset tomorrow, because we're trying to change the driving licenses law for Olim, especially from a lot of Western countries, cannot drive in Israel. They're given permission for the first year to drive, and after that, they need to change their license. So for me personally, I cannot drive in Israel. I have went to the doctor, got the doctor's letter, got the eye doctor letter, went, spent hours all day there, and the clerk told me the driving license bureau's doctor needs to check the medicine that I'm taking that the doctor prescribed for me. So all this stuff, many Olim get failed their first time taking a test, and then they're required to take like 20 classes. Each class is like 250, 300 shekels, okay? This shouldn't happen. Last week, the French community stood up in unison, and they not only changed the driving license law for France, for French Olim, they also are going to now recognize documents, professional documents, certifications that allow French doctors and other French professionals to work in Israel. Okay? So that's what we're talking about. When all the Olim stand up as a community, you know, we have 32,000. If we have 100,000 in the group, that's 4 Knesset seats. So think about the power and the voice that Olim have to change the things that they need to change. You know, we do programs like No Ole Alone, where every Ole for the holidays has a place to go. We find Israeli families and other veteran Olim to take them in and make friendships and, you know, lasting memories for these people. Many of these people have never celebrated these holidays before. So this is pretty amazing. I went with Ann Pollard, my friend, along with another couple of Olim. One of them was from Russia, and it was her first time ever at a Passover Seder. And that's just really beautiful. This is what Keep Olim is doing. We have Bikor Olim, when Ole is sick alone in the hospital. I was in the hospital. I was alone. So all these programs come from experiences of either myself or my friends. So we visit the Olim in the hospitals. When they come out of the hospitals, Joan Sharansky makes sure that they have food in their homes. People cook for them. We have amazing, amazing programs.
This is really fascinating. You've established a network which is like a family for people who have come to live in Israel, and many of them are on their own and don't know their way around. I just want to mention to the listeners who have tuned in late that I'm speaking with Remy Lawrence, who runs an organization in Israel called Keep Olim, the Keep Olim Israel in Israel movement, and they have a huge Facebook group called Keep Olim. There are nearly 32,000 members in the group. I think that it seems to me that most of the people in the group are people who have made Aliyah, but I'm seeing that there are also people who are considering making Aliyah, and they're also getting assistance through the group.
That's correct. So the group is like one big community. You ask a question, you get answers. And we now have a lot of people before making Aliyah. Now, when the group first started, it was very negative until we decided to make a nonprofit out of it and then empower the Olim. And once we started to do that, we got the Olim to take empowerment over their lives. We have classes at Keep Olim University that teach Olim to retool themselves and reinvent themselves for Israel. It doesn't matter what you did abroad, but now when you come to Israel, you need to reinvent yourself for the job market and recreate yourself. I never thought that I'd be running a nonprofit in Israel. I also never thought I'd be a comedian, but here I am doing both. So you need to reinvent yourself if you want to succeed in Israel.
Demi, I want to thank you for coming on the show. We didn't get much of a chance to speak about your stand-up comedy, but hopefully you'll be a guest on the show again in the future and we can talk more about your shows.
That would be great. I just want to remind your listeners, tonight we have a fundraiser for Keep Olim in Jerusalem at Mike's Place. It's kosher comedy at Mike's Place. Right now it's 50 shekels pre-sale tickets. Come support Keep Olim. We have the top comics in Israel: Yossi Tarablis, Yochai Sponder, 81-year-old Lenny Ravitz, coming to make you laugh. So come have and support. Thank you so much for having me on, and have a good day to everybody. Shalom.
Shalom, Remy. Thank you for being the guest on the show. All right, listeners. Now we have another very special guest, David Weissman. Is a currently a activist and writer. He's a social media activist, and he is a writer and thinker, and he lives in Israel today. He made Aliyah. On the first segment of the show, we were speaking about Aliyah, and now we have David. David, thank you for coming on the show. Please tell our listeners a little bit about your own background. Where are you from, and how did you find yourself an Israeli writer?
Hi, thank you for having me on. Well, I'm originally from Queens, New York, and my family and I was in the U.S. military for 13 years. After the military, we decided to make Aliyah and live in Israel.
And where are you living currently?
Currently living in Jerusalem.
Great. And what do you do?
I'm a writer. I write for several publications, the Times of Israel, Israel's Voice, and couple other ones here and there, and that's pretty much what I do.
So people can find you and follow your posts on Facebook and on Twitter.
Yes, and you find me on Facebook at David Weissman, and at Twitter at David M. Weissman.
David, I saw recently, I know that you're very active on social media. I see your posts all the time, writing about Israel and our concerns. And I saw one of your posts on Twitter that had a huge following, a huge amount of retweets and comments and so forth. Do you want to tell us about that?
Yes. It pretty much started when President Trump had his inauguration, the Women's March, which was supposed to be about women's rights. And we looked into that, found out what was going on about that. And obviously it turned into an anti-Trump march. Not really necessarily about women, you know, the rights for women. And more investigation I looked at, and I learned it was led by Linda Sassour. And when I found out more about her, I learned that she is a Palestinian American, and, you know, she has problems with President Trump wanting to protect America, i.e. travel ban and, you know, different things like that. So I started following her on Twitter, and I see what she had to say. Obviously, she has a lot of anti-Israel stuff on Twitter, too. She has made some tweets about that. And recently she called in jihad on Trump and his administration. So I was not going to take that, lying down. So I decided, I'm going to challenge her. Because I know what that word means, especially here in Israel. Dealing with terrorism, dealing with all the attacks that we go through. And either she's either completely ignorant throughout the world what's going on around her, or she knows exactly what she's doing. I personally think she knows exactly what she's doing. And she has the liberal media wrapped around her finger, and they're falling for it. And, I had enough because, she's pretty much threatened the president's life. That's why I decided, to put her principles to the test and challenge her to debate, expose what she's doing to the people. So this way, you protect the Trump administration and his family, and continue so that he can work on making America better without all this extra stuff. Because when an Islamic terrorist hears that word jihad, that's telling them, okay, now's the time to go attack, time to go kill the infidels. So that's why I decided to speak out against it.
Listeners, we're speaking with David Weissman, who is an American Jew. He's a veteran of the U.S. military, and he made Aliyah. He lives in Israel today, and he writes an article that he wrote on reactionarytimes.com, an American Jewish Trump supporter in Israel challenges Linda Sassoor. And he got 12,000 likes on Twitter and 11,000 retweets. So you challenged her, and have you heard back from her? Has she taken up your challenge?
No, nothing. No comments, no feedback, nothing. And, it's typical because people like that, and that's the understanding. You go on platforms to influence your principles, influence your ideology, but, you don't challenge it, so it doesn't make sense to me. Because, you and I go out there, we'll defend Israel, we'll defend, I'll defend America, President Trump, and, we get, harassments, death threats, sure. And, it's important, I have no problem defending our countries, defending what we believe in. And if we want to go on platforms, let's do it. And that's the thing about jihad, that's the thing about Sharia law. I basically had enough of it.
David, I want to stop you for a moment. We're taking a short commercial break, and I want you to stay on because we want to speak with you about Jerusalem and the attack on the police at the Temple Mount. So, listeners, hang on until after the commercial, and we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Rabbi David Aaron. The soul basics are the most profound, the most essential, and yet often the most neglected in our education. Join me for Soul Talk on Israel's News Talk Radio and discover the secrets to love, spiritual growth, and personal power.
Okay, David, thank you for being with us. We're speaking with David Weissman, who is an American veteran. He's a veteran of the American military, and he is Jewish. He made Aliyah. He's a writer and thinker. He has challenged Linda Sassoor, who is an Islamic activist in the United States, an anti-Trump, you should be reading his post about Linda Sassoor, and he challenged her for a debate, but she is not responding on that. David, there was a terrorist attack in Jerusalem last Friday. Two Israeli police officers were shot in the back. Can you tell us about what's going on, what happened there, and what's going on today in Jerusalem?
What happened is that apparently, they were able to sneak in, the terrorists were able to sneak in weapons prior to the terror attack, which I guess they had a cooperation with the Quaf, the Jordanian police that's part of the, the Temple Mount security. And then, they went in there and actually attacked Israeli police officers, and two of them died. And it was really a shame because, you know, that one of them had a newborn child. And this is something that Israel sadly deals with on a regular day. And right now it's becoming a huge uproar because finally our leadership said, you know what, we had enough. And they closed the mosque to the Muslims here in Israel. And it's not a permanent close. It's a close to where they can assess the security to make sure that does not happen again. But right now, the Muslims around that area are protesting, rioting. We even saw it outside our house that there were fireworks going on out over in East Jerusalem because we're not too far from the, you know, from Israel, about a couple of miles from the holy site. And, you know, they're causing an uproar about it. But, you know, they're only having it closed just to assess the security situation and find ways to prevent it from happening again.
It's really outrageous. I mean, it's the security measures that the police have currently put into effect on the Temple Mount exist all over the world. If you want to travel, enter an airport, you need to go through a metal detector. If you want to go onto the Temple Mount, Jewish people, when I go up to the Temple Mount, I need to go through a metal detector. So I really don't understand why the Muslims feel insulted, especially after this terrorist attack on Friday.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing is, it's not just the Muslims here in Israel. It's Muslims in other countries like Turkey, Iran. And, you know, they're not condemning the terror attack. They're condemning the fact that, one, the mosque is closed, and two, the security measures and the metal detectors. And there's something wrong with that. I mean, the first thing first, if you believe that Muslim is your faith is a peaceful religion, then why are you not condemning the people that are hijacking your faith? Why are you, you know, instead, why are you condemning people that want to protect its citizens? It makes no sense to me.
It is pretty shocking that actually I'm not hearing too much from religious leaders, not Muslims, not only Muslims, but I would expect religious leaders in the Muslim community and internationally to speak out against this murder at the holy place. I was shocked to see that the Jordanian parliament stopped their session to make a prayer for the terrorist who killed the police officers on the Temple Mount.
Yeah, it's really disgusting, and it makes it hard to believe that there is such thing as a moderate Muslim.
Yes. Yes, it does. The two officers who were killed were members of the Israeli minority Druze sect. They weren't Jewish. And we see an outpour of love from the Israeli society for this group of Israeli patriots who aren't Jewish.
Exactly. From what I understand, and correct me if I'm wrong, I read that the Druze people actually have the option of not having to serve in the military. I can be wrong on that. And that's why it hurts, you know, the Israel community more, because they're volunteering to serve. They're volunteering to help protect Israelis and Jewish people. And in this happens, you know, it hurts all of us here.
Well, David, I want to thank you for coming on the show, and we will be following you, all of your writing and your activity. I'll post a link to one of your, well, I'll post your name on the text section for this podcast, and look forward to hearing more from you in the future.
Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
Be well. Go from strength to strength. I want to thank both of my guests today, Lemi Lawrence from the Keep Olim movement, an organization that is by Olim, for Olim, helping people make their way in Israel, which is really important. If you're considering making Aliyah, you can join their group, Keep Olim, on Facebook and send any questions. And the whole community, there are 32,000 members of the group. And people will come forward and offer you their own experience and their own advice. So that's a great place. And if you're already in Israel and you need any help, you can reach out to this community and they will try to help you. We also spoke with David Weissman, who is a writer and a social media activist. He's all over the place on Twitter and Facebook. And if you are there, you can follow his user and retweet his information. We were speaking with David about the attack on the Temple Mount on Friday. To recap, three Islamist terrorists came from within the Temple Mount, armed, to the gate, the Lion's Gate, or the Shar HaShvatim. No, the Lion's Gate on the east northern corner of the western of the Temple Mount, and they shot two Israeli police officers who both died. There's a third police officer who was wounded. The two officers who died were members of the Druze community. I don't know how famous, how much people know about the Druze community in Israel. The Druze are a small nation that exists mainly in southern Syria, in southern Lebanon, and in northern Israel. Typically, the Druze community are loyal to the countries that they live in, and typically the Druze community in Israel, who are not Jewish, they're an Arab-speaking minority. They're not Muslim either. They have their own religion, the Druze religion. And the Druze in Israel have stood loyally with the state of Israel since before the establishment of the state. They decided to align with the state of Israel. The Druze actually, the Druze community in the very early 50s petitioned the government of Israel to draft their young men into the IDF, just like their Israeli brothers, just like their Jewish brothers. And since then, the Druze community have been drafted into the IDF. They have a very high level of volunteerism for special units in the combat in the IDF, and many of their members of their community stay on in the professional service in the IDF or in the police. So these two young men, young heroes of Israel from the Druze community, were killed in the attack. And the third police officer who was killed is also from the minority Bedouin group, who are Muslims, and they're also patriotic Israelis. Many of them volunteer to serve in the IDF. Yesterday, I had a great meeting with Inon Dan Kahati in Jerusalem. Spent the whole afternoon with him strategizing on ways to engage and interact and integrate the minority communities in Israel. And we both agree that Israel is everything west of the Jordan River. Judea and Samaria, the heartland of Israel, we see as no different than any other region in the state of Israel. And Israel should enable a path for the minorities in Israel to be part of this country. And those who wish, like the terrorists on the Temple Mount, who came from Umm al-Fahim, who were Israeli citizens, they were Islamist terrorists. People like that who wish to fight the state of Israel need to be banished from this land. They cannot live here and enjoy the benefits of being part of the state of Israel and at the same time scheme to overthrow this country and establish an Islamist state here. Israel is the one Jewish country, and it is in the homeland of the Jewish people, and this place will not become a Islamist country. That's why we have a government, and we have an army, and we have a police force, and they will fight to keep our country Jewish and free, and protect the rights of all of our citizens, the Jews and minorities, who align themselves with the Jewish state of Israel. I was also speaking, not on the show, but I was speaking with my good friend Atta Farhat, who is the chairman of the Druze Zionist Foundation. And we are thinking together how to work on behalf of the youth in the Zionist Druze community to establish a youth organization for these young people to teach them about the history of our country and the history of the brotherhood between the Druze and the Jews in Israel. For those of you that this is all new, I encourage you, I urge you to come and visit in the land. Contact me if you want ideas of places to visit, or if you would like me to take you out to visit the Druze community and the Moshavim and the towns in Judea and Samaria.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
If you're hearing this message, everyone else can too. Advertise with Israel News Talk Radio and get your message out to people. We'll build a personalized package for you. Contact advertising at israelnewstalkradio.com.
Straight talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.